that if we tip it over.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Let's get started. I think Natalie's probably on her way. I'd like to welcome everyone to this City Council work session. That is. I feel like the voice of God on high. Let me try something. Let my people go. All right. First item is review of state code revision related to public notices and subdivisions. Sherry?
This is some super exciting stuff. We're not clicking. Okay, great. So first I wanted to go over the changes to public notices. So in this last legislative session, the legislature came up with the idea that makes every notice be one of two notices, either a Class A notice or a Class B notice, and they have certain rules on the way they're posted. And so everybody has to update their codes because we have outdated references in our codes. Mostly what this did was take out the requirements to put it in a newspaper and then put the requirements all in one place in the state code. So essentially there are two types of notice going forward. The first is a Class A notice, which means it's posted at the City Hall, on the city website, and on the public notice website. So things like an agenda would be a Class A notice. Some of the notices for procurements or bids are Class A notices. Class B notices are everything that's a Class A notice plus a direct notice that's mailed to affected entities or property owners. So those are the difference between the two notices. We went through the city code and identified all of the areas that we needed to change. There's more than is just before you tonight. They're just some are more complicated than others and have raised other issues, like Title IX, where we have some information about the impact fees. That was pointed out by our attorney that needed some additional work in addition, so we're going to work on that and have that for you in 2 weeks. And then there are numerous changes in Title X, which is the land use ordinance, and the changes to Title X have to go through a public hearing with the Planning Commission. So we're doing those separately, and that's also opened up another can of worms because of the changes in the subdivision code that I will explain after we go through this one, and then just doing some general reorganization. But these are the sections that we found in the city code that needed to be updated. So the first was in Title I. Essentially, 157 is posting ordinance summaries, so this changes it, removes the newspaper. We just have to post a summary as a Class A notice. 162, this is a Class A notice for 7 days that's required when you adopt an ordinance giving yourself or other elected officials or statutory officials a salary. And then 111.5 dealt with competitive bids and removed that notice for the newspaper. I spoke with Councilmember Baskin, and she pointed out that I had missed the 7-day requirement in there and had one of my references incorrect, so I've corrected that, and we can have that go forward with those corrections. So later on in the agenda, or on the agenda, if you want to make that in your motion as amended. Then 114-2. This was something that I noticed in there when I looked at 114.3, which is the disposal of a significant parcel of real property. And I just want to define that for you. A significant portion of real property is something that is over 1 acre in size and valued over $250,000, which requires a public hearing with a Class A notice and 14 days notice. But it under our current code, it said that we just had to provide notice of a public hearing with reasonable notice, and where we were specifying in the next section that it was 14 days, we didn't need the reasonable notice, so I decided we needed to take that out. Title VII had to do with natural resource permits. And one was a public hearing for granting the permit for a new gravel pit, let's say, and one for revocation of a gravel pit that would also require a 10-day Class A notice for those actions. Do you have any questions about these noticing? Okay. So the big changes that I'm working on right now are going to come in our in Title 10, which is our land use ordinance. And they revise the subdivision statute. And this is basically an outline of what we can do and how we can approve subdivisions now. So from now on, well, at least we have to have this adopted by February 1st of next year. But a concept plan for a subdivision, and if you'll remember, when we do a subdivision, we have concept, preliminary, and final. And each one of those go to the Planning Commission and then City Council. So under the new state statute for single-family lot developments, two-family lot developments, or townhome developments, conceptual plan review is optional at the request of the developer. So it's not required. It'll be optional. That's the first thing. There are some rules for that conceptual review. It has to be by staff. It can't be done by Planning Commission or City Council. At that conceptual review, we have to hold it within 15 days of their request. We have to provide copies of all the applicable regulations at that concept plan review, a complete list of our standards, our checklist for preliminary and final, and give them feedback on the concept that they propose for the development. Preliminary plan review, and this is the big change. This requires that we designate what's called an administrative land use authority for subdivisions. And we can designate depending on what type of subdivision we want to do. But it can be the Planning Commission or it can be staff. It cannot be the City Council. So it takes the City Council entirely out of the review of preliminary plan. It can be reviewed in a public meeting or it can be reviewed at the staff level. The staff can hold that public meeting or if you designate the Planning Commission as the administrative land use authority, it has to be held in a public meeting. And then they may receive public comment and they may not hold more than one public hearing. So they're not required to hold a public hearing on a preliminary plan, but they may hold one, but they can only hold one public hearing. So if there's some countervailing public interest that we felt like we needed to have a public hearing for it, we can have one. And then the final plat cannot be reviewed by the Planning Commission or the City Council. So final plat is basically saying everything that you identified that needed to be fixed at preliminary plat comes back to staff and staff checks off the list. Did they meet all of the standards and all of the conditions of preliminary plat approval from the Administrative Land Use Authority? So it essentially takes the City Council entirely out of the subdivision review process, and the only part that you have a role in subdivision review process is in drafting the subdivision ordinances and approving those. That's the legislative action. So it's making a clear distinction that subdivisions are administrative and adopting the ordinances are legislative, and takes the City Council out of the approval. So what I do want to just let you know is that, as you know, we do a lot of P districts and development agreements. And that doesn't change. That's still a legislative action. So you will still see those things come through as the P district rezones. But when the actual subdivision is approved, it should meet all the standards that we approved in the development agreement for the zone change. But it doesn't affect the actual subdivision plat approval. The plat approval does not come to the City Council at all. That's the project that I am working on. As I started to look at the noticing requirements in Title 10, I was looking at it and I knew I needed to do the subdivision stuff, but we have subdivision regulations in Title 10, Chapter 3, and we have subdivision regulations in Title 10, Chapter 7, which is under conditional use permits, and subdivision should not be a conditional use permit. It is a permitted use if they meet all the standards. So My proposal and what I'm writing right now is to put all of the subdivision regulations in their own title, make Chapter 3 the process for zone changes and code amendments, and then titles, or Chapter 7 will be conditional uses, and then Title 13 will be our subdivision chapter. So that will take several months to get that done. I've got the first three chapters drafted. I forwarded those to our city attorney so he can get a head start on looking at it, make sure that I'm going in the right direction, and that I'm understanding all of these nuances of the state code. But that's where we're at. Do you have any questions on this new process?
Questions?
Mayor, I've got a question.
Go ahead.
Well, I think as a principle, it makes sense to codify what you want more if you can, and rely on your codes, just as a matter of principle. Based on that logic, when you reflect on the substance of our subdivision ordinance, do you think that there are some shortcomings that we should address given that movement?
Yes, and I am addressing those things. So some of the things that need to be updated and modernized in our subdivision regulations, some of the lists that don't contain everything that we need everything that we need for a subdivision review to be in the ordinance, because one of the other products of this, of the enabling legislation, is that we only get 4 review cycles. So when we send out, it also requires when we send out red lines to the developer on the plat, we have to mark all of the things that need to be corrected. We have to cite our ordinances or our specifically adopted specification and tell them what section that is. Then we have to give them a list, like in a Word document, of all of those things. They have to respond back with all of those corrections and a list of everything, how they addressed all of the, say we give them a punch list of 10 things that need to be corrected. They have to respond in writing as to what each one of those things are. If they don't address all of those 10 things, then that review cycle is not complete and we do not start the next review cycle. So we can't change the rules halfway through. We need to be able to have everything in the ordinance that needs to be in a subdivision and part of the review process. And so that I'm doing a comprehensive review of that and working closely with the engineering and public works department to make sure that we've covered all of our standards. One of the things that we're going to be wanting to put in our standards is, what does a plat look like? And we want to have a sample plat so that we can refer back to what the plat should say, what the boxes should look like, and refer to this in figure whatever in the standards and specifications manual, so that we always are very clear on what we're citing and we're not asking for things we shouldn't. Now, I think that these changes to state code are probably a result of some cities that either don't have the good enough staff or don't have enough staff, or maybe they're not fair with developers, and so the rest of us have to be punished and go the extra mile. I don't think we've had that problem in our community. We don't have that where we make our list of all the things they need to do, and then the next time they come around, we discover other things or we make up other things. We don't do any of that kind of shenanigans. We try to get everything covered the first time. Obviously, we're not perfect. Sometimes we miss some of those things, but we really need to make sure we have it all in our code so that we can just go down the checklist. Did they do the legal description correctly? Did they, identify the building envelope? Just check off all of the little requirements for each plat. So we're trying to be very comprehensive in this draft.
As you're reviewing the subdivision code, will there be a time that that revised code or the process will be brought back to the City Council so that we can sound in on that as well?
Oh, yes. So the first thing that will happen was as I work through these drafts, I'm going to work through the Planning Commission. And we're going to do work sessions and try to just do little bites of the elephant at a time so they're not overwhelmed with 9 chapters at once. And then once we get that all clean, and they will then hold the public hearing and make a formal recommendation on it to the City Council, and then you will have the opportunity to review it and make any changes that you feel would be appropriate.
And then is it possible to have as a procedure Kind of like a work in progress update that's just included with City Council information, where while we're not reviewing and voting on any of these, but that as maybe part of our biweekly emails that we say, and just so you know, we are currently reviewing this development, so that if we wanted to stay up to date on those, we could just be reviewing, even though we're not voting.
Right, just so you, like,
I get emails about stuff like this.
As subdivisions are being approved.
Yeah, exactly.
We can just say, hey, we're working on this subdivision over on Union Avenue. It's a two-lot subdivision.
Exactly, yeah, like four sentences to just say this is what we're doing.
Because I think you want to know what's going on, and we don't want to keep you in the dark on that. That wouldn't be right, because citizens are going to call you, right? And they're going to want to know, what are you approving, what's being approved? So I have no problem with that.
It's a fun time to be a planning commissioner.
Yeah.
What is the process? Once we've established our subdivision plan, is it easy to amend it?
Yeah, well, it will still require a public hearing and recommendation from the Planning Commission to amend it. So if you see something that's wrong or that you want addressed in the subdivision ordinance, or if staff brings it to you and says, hey, we think we have this issue with the subdivision ordinance, you can ask us to draft that. We'll take it to the Planning Commission for their review and public hearing, and they'll forward a recommendation to you. So it will always be the City Council's legislative assignment or duty to adopt the ordinances or change those ordinances.
I just can foresee that someone's going to come in with something that doesn't fit into our box, and we'll be sitting here going, oh, that would be such a better idea, and they want to do it, and our hands are tied.
Your hands won't be tied, because then they can come and ask for a code amendment.
Yeah.
Can I follow up on that? Would that be a code amendment or just a conditional use for their property? Or would it be flatly rejected if it doesn't fit within the subdivision?
If it doesn't fit
parameters
within that, then we could not approve it without a code amendment.
Thank you.
I just had a question. So you're saying it doesn't affect HOA, or not HOA.
I'm sorry.
Doesn't affect the PUD type scenario, but in some ways it has to, because that's also part of a subdivision, isn't
it? Well, it doesn't affect the rezoning aspect of our P districts.
Okay.
So they would still come forward with a zone change for a P district, and you would see the concept plan that would be applied to that P district and negotiate all of the terms of that. And then as they actually go put the lots to the plat, that would just then be reviewed by the Planning Commission. But the nuts and bolts of the development agreement and the zone change, that's still the legislative action.
So we still have development agreements that we can
put
in place?
Yes.
Okay.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Okay, thanks. I look forward to lots of writing ordinances.
Yeah. Next item is a discussion and consideration of parking matters and possible bike lane on a segment of 900 North. Craig Black.
So this is, I'm usually pretty quiet in our staff meetings and things about things like this, and don't have much to say about them. But I'm kidding, I'm waiting for the staff to shoot at me here a little bit. This discussion came up tangentially to the discussion about 900 North parking problems. I think, Alisa, you brought those to the staff's attention to consider red striping on the north side the way we have done on the south side for our clear views. And we felt good about that. I mean, there was really no question whether or not that made sense. But as I went out and looked at some of the measurements that we would need to make, this was not just so, when we did the south side, this was not just solely based on the Clearview 40-foot radius, but Paul Otteson and I went out and actually measured the 85th percentile of the speed, what the travel distance was, so that we could make those no parking Clearview zones long enough that they were really practical for what we were trying to accomplish there. So as I went out there to kind of repeat that, the thought came to me on some of the comments we've had about the biking that goes around with neighborhood bikes in the Foxborough neighborhoods in particular, would it make sense to just designate the north side of 900 North as a no parking side of that street? I mean, there's obviously pluses and minuses on doing that. This is not a decision that the staff felt good about just going forward as a safety committee or anything else doing. I think this is a decision that the council would need to direct staff on as a policy decision. But if we did that, we would eliminate about 50 to 60 parking spots on 900 North, on that north side. If we don't do that, we will still go out and designate those Clearview areas as has been requested by the council. However, before we went out and made that expenditure, we just thought, I thought to bring this to our staff meeting, and Ken agreed that we should bring this forward to the city council for maybe a policy discussion and direction from the council at that point.
So, Chief, could you kind of tell the council where we have red curbing now and where we don't?
So I believe that we do have red curbing on the east side of the Foxborough Drive roundabout, on the north side of 900 North. On the south side, it's just the two or three driveways out of the Stonehaven HOA subdivision there. Those are adequately red curbed to the Clearview ordinances and beyond, so that we have safe ingress and egress onto 900 North from the south side. The north side, it's a bit inconsistent. And what we understood the initial request from the council to be, the initial direction, was to go out and do the same thing on the north side that we had done on the south. But, you know, like I said, I went out there to make those measurements to see how far we would have to go, and started thinking about some of the other comments that have come up over time, and brought that back to the staff meeting, and kind of came to the determination that if this was something that the council would like to pursue for, it's not really going to be an active transportation type of a bike lane as part of a trail or a formal thing. It would just be a no parking buffer zone for people that wanted to use that for biking, walking, whatever, without having cars parked on that side of the road. I will tell you that my experience is most of the individuals who park on that side of the road are, their cars are registered, or the ones that have been in violation on the north side of the road in the past have been visiting the HOA on the south side. But there have been a few instances where there have been other unlawful types of parking, like boats and trailers and stuff like that, from both sides. Residents on both sides. In fact, there are some residents of Foxborough that don't live anywhere near there, but have found that's a pretty safe storage place in the summer.
So there's really two options, to be clear, to respond to the council's request to consider something here. One would be to continue with the same sort of red curbing west of the roundabout, which really is making sure that we're red curbing the clear vision areas, but allowing some parking still in between those streets. The second option that Craig has outlined for you was one that we discussed in our staff meeting, which is we would have no parking on the north side of that road, allowing for a more comfortable experience for bikers and walkers and others who might within the neighborhood have a good place to ride a bike east and west. So those are really the two options.
Mayor, may I comment? I love this idea, and thank you for looking at it so carefully. This is something that I get many comments on. I live near this area and drive past it daily. I appreciate and absolutely think that the red striping should go on the west side of the roundabout. I really like the idea of designating this as a bike lane entirely on the north side. I would request that designated bike lane go the entire length of the road, not from west of the roundabout as well as east of the roundabout. One thing that I think that can do is it becomes a little bit of a artery for children that are biking and transporting to school. So while this isn't a major thoroughfare where people might be commuting, this is where children are riding their bikes often. And from all of these streets, they can come into this 900 North, and then they come here along Fox Hollow, and there's a good striped lane there as well. So I very much like this idea. I also think it allows us to practice something we've talked about in our active transportation plan, which is the idea of no parking zones on public streets for a designated bike lane. this becomes a nice place to do that because all of the property along this area where it would be proposed to have no parking is not the front of anyone's house. These are all the sides of people's houses, which is also why it has been identified as a place to provide long-term parking for your RV if you don't have parking in front of your own house because you're not parked in front of anyone else's house. So it is alleviating a problem that has been identified in the neighborhood as well. So I think this is a fantastic idea. I think we should stripe it red the entire way. I think we should designate it as a bike lane the entire route. If it ends up being problematic, 50 or 60 cars is a lot of cars to then push throughout the rest of the neighborhood. If it becomes problematic, we can revisit this in a year and decide there is a portion of this that we need to open up for parking at that point or leave it as is. That's my comment and recommendation.
Any other comments?
I do have one question. Is it inconsistent to put a red curb for parking, no parking, and then also have it be a bike lane, or would you have both? No parking, this is a bike lane.
Karen, I don't know if there's nothing legally that we would enforce, but I don't know if there's an MUT, CD, ABCD, FG thing or something like that.
We could do that. We could opt to do that.
Yeah, I think if the question is, do bike lanes exist with restricted parking? The answer is yes. And I think that's a question that, as we've talked about active transportation, I think it's clear to me that the safest bike lanes would have no parking sharing that space.
Yeah.
So I think this would be a good, I agree with Councilmember Van Langeveld, it's a good location to try this out and see how it works.
If it works really well, we could redo Third South and Salt Lake too, huh, Ted?
Now, to be clear, though, if the council does direct us to try this out, my recommendation would be that we both paint and sign and make it very clear. We don't want there to be ambiguity, and we don't really want this to be something we put up a long educational period. It's going to be clearly marked, and enforcement would start pretty soon. I mean, like, we'll start with warnings maybe for a few weeks, but this should not be something that we experiment with as far as enforcement goes. We'd start wanting to enforce this pretty quickly.
I love that idea and I appreciate that very much. That is another piece along this way. There are some recreational vehicles that'll get parked here, and unless a citizen calls to complain, they end up being there a long time, even though they're clearly in violation, like boats that are not connected to cars and things like that. So I really appreciate that focus on enforcement as well. Thank you.
I like this. Go ahead. Well, I'm just noting that I like this idea. I also don't live in the neighborhood. We're not making a decision today, right? Because this is a work session item. Is that correct? Or
no, this isn't something that requires a resolution or an ordinance. This is something that the staff, I mean, if we just didn't really care what the council thought, the staff really could just go out and do one way or the other on this because we can do that. But we do care about what this would do. I mean, there's decisions that we make from time to time from a safety committee perspective that we know we need to just restrict parking or unrestrict parking in some areas. But this is, you're right, Councilmember Knowlton, this is going to be an impact in the neighborhood. There's probably a couple of you here that remember some years ago where we did something similar on another street, and there was a lot of residential blowback on that. The parking is still restricted, but how we marked it is not, and it's not well enforced now.
It has been put on the agenda so that you can make a motion. It says discussion and consideration if you want to give us some direction.
Which could be to wait.
Well, the only, and I haven't given you a chance to jump in, Council Member Baskin. The one thing that I would throw out, sometimes you see in communities that they make restrictions based on, it could be seasonal, it could be when school is in session, there can be certain time and day or season restrictions. That's splitting it a little bit and can create confusion. But I like the basic stance of Council Member Van Langeveld of let's try it.
There is one wrinkle to this as I look at this, and that is, and when Paul Otteson and I, all of us, were talking about street calming, traffic calming measures, it was suggested that we put in bike lane lines because that narrows the street and slows down traffic. But what we're seeing almost citywide is that people are parking in the bike lanes all the time. And so it's a mixed message. So to be clear then, we will make sure, as you said, it'll be a red curb, meaning no parking under any circumstances, and a bike lane.
That's correct.
Which will distinguish it from all other situations in the city where we have a bike lane that's painted, but it is not honored.
Correct.
Okay.
Are we going to make a motion or just...
Ken, how would you like to best have the council direct us?
I think it would be great if the council could make a motion and give us some direction on this.
Go ahead.
That would be helpful.
We'll make a motion that we go ahead and ask staff and the police department and who's involved to go ahead and continue with this plan to mark the 900 North West side with the curb. The red marking so people won't park there, and also put a bike lane in there, and also put up the signs indicating there's a bike lane there.
Could I just ask you to specify that our plan was between Cutler and Skipton? Is okay. That what your
yes.
understanding was yes. also, Councilmember Bendingville?
Between Cutler and Skipton.
On the north side between Cutler and Skipton.
North side? Okay. I thought you kept saying west side.
But you really mean the full
length. The north
length.
Side on the west yeah. part of the street.
But you really mean okay. it the whole length of the street.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that would be clear.
Whole length of the street. But just the one side, which is the north side.
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you. We'll get it figured out then. Thanks.
And
thank you.
Ken, I don't know that needs to come back to us.
No, yeah. I don't think it does. So thank you for that.
Okay. Let's jump down to the bottom, and we'll do approval of the city council minutes. I had one change, so let me dig out my notes here. Line 545, Wendy. I was making a comment about an event that's happening in the future, and the minutes reflect that it happened. So it was just a past tense, future tense thing. No, this was about the
second sentence?
Yeah, the...
An incident with you throwing firecrackers into a crowd?
No, this was about the fire district having an open house.
Oh, so it's line 541.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Oh, yeah. There will be an open house.
Yeah, there will be.
Okay.
You know, coming up. Any other changes to
I'll make a motion. We approve the minutes as amended.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
I'll second the motion.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you. That passes. Let's go to action items next.
Mayor, may I ask a question on one? Yes. This is probably for Karen. Just a follow-up about the Foxborough Park Trail. School starts in 2.5 weeks, so what's the timeline for that?
So the bid award's on the agenda tonight. The construction, there was some concern about children and weather and the ability to restore the sod. And The original plan was to have the trail in before school started. The current plan is to wait until after school has begun to start, and then the safety concerns in the contractor to make sure the children can't access anything dangerous.
And do you know the length, the proposed length of the project? Like, how long will that area be off limits for children?
I don't know for sure, because until I can award it tomorrow, I can't hold the pre-construction, but start to finish, the whole project will be less than 30 days.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you.
Any other questions, updates on action items?
Nothing for me.
Okay. All right, let's go on to council reports. Ted?
Okay, so we had our Parks, Trails, Arts, and Recreation meeting last week. Our awesome committee is going through some growing pains. We're grappling with the challenge of addressing a lot of different issues, right? Parks, trails, arts, recreation. And there's a lot of passion on our committee. There's passion to do more, I would say, two specific areas. One is the arts and the other is trails. And so there has been some desire to explore things like subcommittees and what have you. With an eye towards, hey, can we tap into more expertise in the community? Can we drill down and think about how to make the city a better place in those kinds of spaces? And it's become clear that I think we just need to get a little bit more organized as we go through these growing pains. And so the suggestion has come forward from David and Ken, which I think is fantastic, that we need to follow the lead of the Wellness Committee and you know, have a conversation internally to our committee about bylaws. And so I'm just letting you know that we're exploring bylaws, and that'll be the work of at least the next one meeting, and possibly, let's say, the next two meetings. I'm not sure. And, you know, we'll either live within our charge from council, or if we feel like we want to make a recommendation for something more significant, that'll come back to council. So just a note about that. A more minor thing, Heidi, there's an interest in another budget update back to Parks, Trails, Arts, and Rec. I have the most baby of baby issues, which is that one of the electric car chargers is broken. I was talking to a gentleman who was trying to use it, and he couldn't figure it out. So I just thought it's top of mind, so I'm relaying it. I will not be at our next council meeting on August 15th. This was a soup to nuts council report, and you're welcome.
Can I just interject something that I was going to bring up in the mayor report, but I'm not finding it. I wonder if it came in on my other. I received. Yeah, it came in on my other email. Now it's not loading. Melissa Ballard received an email from Scott Feller about the lack of public art in our communities. She forwarded that to the big five, the South Davis mayors, and of course, Bountiful responded, and they have a lot of things, and we actually have supported some of the Bountiful Art things. And but it does raise a question in my mind. We've all probably taken that tour of St. George and what they've done down there, and they've done some awesome things with art in public spaces and such. And so I was just going to throw out that, you know, we have our art here in our city hall, but maybe maybe in connection with the Hatch Park project, we consider having a little bit of public art sculptures or something there.
If I can just comment on that, it might be a good idea as you activate the art portion of your board as action items that you could actually have a public survey about public art. And so you can kind of get a feeling of what is desired, what is seen as aesthetic, those kinds of things. And I can give examples of where it's been done in other places with local arts authorities and so forth.
May I also add comment on that? So I was chair of that committee for 2 years, and I also felt overwhelmed by the breadth of the ordinance. And one thing that we did formally is we shifted our focus and referred to ourselves as the Parks and Arts Board only. And we stopped addressing trails and we stopped addressing recreation at that time. That doesn't mean that it shouldn't have been brought up. And now you have a group that feels a lot of passion for trails, which I think is fantastic, and you should really harness that. But that is a growing pain that has been in that group for a long time. I do like the idea of separating out some of those responsibilities so they don't all remain with that same core group. I know that Camille Thorpe is very interested in art, and maybe that does break off into a smaller subcommittee. But I think that as a council, as an administration, if we want to start having more art in the city, which I very much support, we have to fund it, and that is the biggest barrier. And so maybe a request that the city start looking for public grants that would fund that art, or a consideration in our next budget meeting that what amount of money are we willing as city officials to put towards putting in public art. And so in fact, I would like to request, if there's other support on the council, that for our next budget retreat, we talk about what amount in our budget are we going to put in there for city art. And that, so we have those conversations.
Thank you.
That's great. Thank you.
I can throw that in part of my report, too. So on the 24th of July, I took three people from the Arts Committee. They were kind of the art people. I took them on the history tour of the city. We were able to, as we were going down the Bamberger there, we actually ran into two of the key residents there, Mrs. Shaw and Mrs., I don't know how to say the last name, Monagiro. Anyway, they're the ones that own between the two of them, I think they own all the property there. But the Montesos, they actually are professional artists, and they do actually want to start a little art community right here next to our city. And they would like a little support in the way of possibly, and again, this is all preliminary, but possibly just some kind of, you know, loan or something as they go forth. So it's not very far along yet, and they need additional parking and some other things before they can really even turn it into the city. But we had a good time with the history tour, and to go quite a little longer than I probably promised them, but it kind of goes that way sometimes. So that's probably my opinion. But they did have some ideas about art. We've got the wall out here that could use a little art on it. We've talked about for a long time.
The amphitheater, is that what you're
saying? Uh-huh. Yeah. So that's one area I know that would probably be pretty easy to do. They could come up with different ideas and present them to us. Anyway, that pretty much covered my report, I guess.
Anything else?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, thank you. Lisa?
The Senior Lunch Bunch is alive and well and flourishing, and on average they're getting about 50 attendees once a month. The Golf Committee, they made the presentation. I sit on that as well, and they made the presentation, so there's nothing really yet to update on that. And then we're going to meet in August. Wendy has set it up for a tree summit, working with people to figure out how we can do more tree plantings, including in private spaces. So that's my report.
Thank you. Natalie?
Can I do a quick piggyback? I know that we already put to bed our action items, but is there any rough time frame on the development of a program for street plantings? I know that's an action item. I just didn't. I'm taking advantage of the.
I would say we're probably within the next 90 to 120 days. We'll be ready to put something on your agenda.
Okay, right on.
And we should make a note of that on the action items too.
I have nothing to report.
Okay, thank you, Elisa.
I have a few things. First of all, this week is the Night Out Against Crime, which is largely organized by the police department, and it's always been a success. The Mental Health and Wellness Committee, has partnered with them, and so we will be there and have provided a few kind of adjacent resources, like an immunization clinic and things like that. So I invite you all to attend at Legacy Park. Stop in at any time.
That's Thursday night?
Thursday. Yeah. Thursday. Yes. And then the second one is farther out, but just another heads up for the Asian American and Pacific Islander Cultural Heritage Night at Foxborough at Legacy Park on August 28th, if you're able to drop by and attend. That will be with the food trucks. That's all for me.
Okay, thank you. Anything on the attorney report?
No, ma'am.
Oh, thank you. I'll go. Since I don't have a lot here. I think I just have one more item here. I received a invitation to a ribbon cutting for the Lamb of God Center, which is helps pregnant women deal with difficult times, I guess. The address is 514 Sugar Plum Lane, which is a house in a residential area. And so I thought, have we approved that? Is that okay to have this facility in a residential area like that? I didn't want to show up and cut a ribbon and like I'm saying, yeah, this is fine. And
we're preparing an answer across the room here, I can see.
So we actually did meet with this operator of this, and we went over the ordinances and the statutes and spoke with the city attorney on it, and they are inside the parameters of a protected use, so it's a group living facility, and so there really wasn't any permit for us to issue there. Yeah, and I think okay. Our city attorney can expand on that more if you'd like.
I think it sounds like a great thing they're doing. I just didn't know if the neighbors would all show up and say, what's going on in our neighborhood here? So, yeah.
It was essentially, it's a group living facility for unwed mothers, yeah. And that then adopt the children, so.
Okay.
The babies.
So is the ribbon cutting in the future?
Yeah.
Thursday.
I just wasn't sure if you said you went to it or are you going to it?
No, it's in the future.
Great.
Okay. I don't have anything else. Why don't we adjourn and try to get started, around 7:00?